Good morning again, everyone.
Good morning.
That was enthusiastic.
We will be in Mark 8, 27 to 38 this morning as we continue our study through Mark together. What a great book it's been so far. It's quite shorter than the other Gospels, but it is full of important truths for us all. So I really enjoyed this, and I hope you guys have as well. Mark 8, verse 27. We have any perfect people out here? Anybody that doesn't make a mistake? Yeah, one in the back? No. Now we've got some finger pointing going on, but we'll get to that in a few minutes. We like this saying, right? We are all human and we all make mistakes.
Amen.
This does sound familiar to us. It's a pretty normal saying. We probably all have said some version of it in our lives. Undoubtedly, and we likely said it for some mistake we've made and not the mistakes of others. The mistakes of others mean, you know, you guys need to do better. But our own mistakes are we're human and we make mistakes. James even told us of this when we studied his letter together. He was teaching on the importance of prayer, and he reminded us the feats of Elijah and his mighty prayer. He reminded us of the fact that Elijah was merely human, just like us. This is important for our text today and for our lives. Do not get lost in the fact that these miraculous things are happening around these people in our story. They are normal people with struggles in their lives, just like anyone else. What sets the apostles apart in our stories is not the fact that they are somehow special or better. What sets them apart is, although normal and struggling, they have placed their faith in Jesus. Remember this as we work through our text together this morning and we put ourselves in the shoes of Peter looking at Jesus. It will be in three parts. Step out in faith, watch out for pride, and get your priorities straight. Mark 8, 27 to 38. Please stand and read God's word today. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, Who do the people say that I am? And they told him, John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he asked them, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered him, you are the Christ. And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And then he began to teach him that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, but turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Amen. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, and we thank you for this time together, and we thank you for your holy word. Father, be with us now. Right our minds and our hearts to listen to your words on these pages and apply them to our lives today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. And be seated.
Good morning.
week we were in Bethsaida, which is around the Sea of Galilee. I've got a map, because I like my maps. This week we are in Caesarea Philippi. You may not be able to see it, but the sea is at the bottom. Caesarea Philippi is up near the arrows, more toward the top. So we have traveled away from the sea. Last week we saw Jesus heal a blind man in two stages, not because he needed extra effort, but because he's signaling to us that some may take more time than others to see who he is. We looked at the fact that our entire study so far in this book has been about seeing who Jesus is. We noted that maybe none more than the disciples were confused about Jesus. And although confused, they were still faithfully following his lead. This week, our focus is on Peter and his action, and our focus is on Jesus and his first prediction of his own death and his call for people to follow him. Let's begin with Peter. Step out in faith. Oh, good old Peter. He represents the react first, think later kind of attitude that we can appreciate. A fisherman called to follow Jesus and become fishers of men. And he brings this energy he has and his all-in attitude with him, and we love him for it. We love the fact that one of the apostles and first leaders of the church gets as much wrong as he gets right. It makes us feel better about this thing we're trying to work through called Christianity. If Peter can make it, then we can make it too. Today we see him get it both right and wrong yet again. First, let's look at what he gets right. He steps out of faith. Jesus asks who the people say he is. And the responses are things we've looked at in detail before. John the Baptist and Elijah and another prophet are all answers to this question given by many people in this area. We spent a whole morning together working through these things so we could have a grasp on why they would think it and why it was wrong. Today we focus on Peter's response. In our text he says, "You are the Christ." Now Luke's account is similar, but we're going to spend a few moments with Matthew. Matthew 16:16. Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So Peter claims Jesus to be the Christ that they have waited on for generations. Yes. Way to go, Peter. He is the Messiah. Then Jesus says two things. First, he says, Peter was given his answer by God. We know this to be the case. We know that Scripture tells us that faith is a gift from God. And it is in faith that Peter answers this question. Secondly, he says that on this statement, the church will be built and hell will not prevail. This is fantastic news. I want to point out two things here. The first is that he's not saying that the church is built on Peter. There's a very prominent church that stands on the fact that this verse says Peter is the first pope. This is not what is said here. Petros is the Greek word for Peter or stone, and Petra is the Greek word for bedrock. Still a kind of stone, but different. Petra is the word used to describe the stone that the tomb of Jesus was cut into in Matthew 27. One is for like a rock you would find in your driveway, and one is for a rock you would find holding up a mountain. These are the two words used here. It is a play on words, but it does not say that Peter is the foundation of the church. Peter is one small stone, and the foundation is built on a solid, massive bedrock. So what is this bedrock of the church? Peter's statement. Who Jesus is what the church is founded on. Jesus says the Son of God is at the center and not Peter. Secondly, Peter finally gets the disciples over this slump. We've been looking at this slump for the past several weeks. They're slowly drifting into confusion and doubt, and their hearts were slowly hardening because they could not come to terms with what they were witnessing. Peter had already come close to getting there when he hopped out of that boat and walked across the water to Jesus. He came so close, and now he is there. He says, "I know who you are. You are God." What does this mean for us? Peter was a small stone playing his role and coming to terms with his faith, and it was started by him stepping out. Where do we need to step out in our lives? Is there a place in our lives where instead of holding the gospel back, we need to unleash it? Sometimes it is hard to muster up the courage because of what it means for your life. Things are well in your relationships. You don't want to do anything or say anything to cause change, to cause heartache. I understand this, and I have been there. Our text has given us a couple of important helps in this area. The first is that you carry the gospel by faith given to you by God. This means you are not alone. God is with you. Your church is with you. Secondly, look at what Jesus says that this truth we hold accomplishes. It holds back the very gates of hell. So we may not be comfortable in these situations, and we may not like discussing our faith with others, but remember, you do so in the power of Christ, and you do it so that this person in your heart and in your life can escape the very gates of hell. Walk out in faith, and do not hold back, and the result is salvation being spread. Peter was just like us, and he stepped out for Jesus, and then he stepped on his own toes. Watch out for Christ. I don't know about you, but reading this book is sometimes to me like re-watching your favorite TV shows or sporting events. You've already seen it. You already know how it is going to end, but that does not stop you from getting into the action, for feeling the moments. We have basketball fans in here. An example, maybe if I played a clip in here of a certain UK basketball game with a certain full court pass to a certain player standing at the top of the key for the other team. See, I didn't mention any names. No matter how many times you've seen it, you probably still react to it. This is where we are with Peter. In one moment, we're saying, yes, he got it. And in the next, we just shake our heads. He just went from being praised by Jesus to being rebuked. From calling Jesus the Son of God to being called Satan. Good old Peter, indeed. What is happening in our text? Jesus turns from Peter, calling him the Son of God, to the rest of his disciples and says, "I am this Messiah. And I will suffer and be rejected and be killed, and I will return from the dead." A little bit of gospel there, right? This is the very first time in our study in Mark that Jesus has mentioned his death. This is the very first time he has told his disciples what's going to happen to their master. He will hint at it again throughout the rest of this book and directly address it again in chapter 9 and again in chapter 10. But our text today is the first. Do we feel this? Do we get the weight of what was just told them? So these disciples have given up their lives to follow, this teacher that they believe to be the Messiah, which means they believe he's come to save them from the Romans and from oppression and will restore Israel to its former glory. These disciples, with these things in their minds, are trying to figure out life on the road, and they're trying to figure out these miracles they're witnessing, and they're trying to figure out this teachings coming from the Messiah. And now they just heard that this man that they left everything for is going to die. Let that sink in. Before we condemn Peter's response, we should probably think about what our own response would have been. Probably the same, right? Peter, being Peter, pulls Jesus to the side and says essentially, "Not on my watch." You see, Peter had given up too much. Peter had placed all his faith on the Jesus train, and he wasn't going to watch it be derailed. There are a couple things to see here. The first is that while Peter has realized who Jesus is, he has not figured out his mission. He's still looking for the conquering king to end their suffering, but he's following a man who came to seek and save the lost. A man who would give his life as a ransom. A man who has a kingdom, but not in this world. The second thing is that we are just like Peter. I think we fall into the same category. We find ourselves looking to God to fix all of our problems and to take away all of our sufferings, though this was never the promise given. We're looking for this same conquering king Peter is looking for, and this leads to despair, and it leads to confusion. All who believe have had their sins wiped clean, but we still live in a sinful and fallen world. We're working toward being more Christ-like every day, but we still battle our own sinful desires along the way. When we start feeling like the plans of God should be different, and should be more like how we envision them, we need to remember a couple of things. The first is that this means we're acting much like Peter, and Jesus called this the act of Satan, and a focus on man instead of God. Secondly, remember also, he who created all things and sustains all things and knows all things probably does a better job at planning than we do. We struggle to plan our schedule for the day or what we're going to eat or even what we're going to wear. And we stand thinking that our lives would be better in our own hands than the hands of God. We are just like Peter. Stubborn, prideful sinners saved by Jesus and striving to do our best along the way. Peter claims Jesus to be the Messiah. And then he lets his pride get in the way. And now we will look at how Jesus responds to the crowds. Get your priorities straight. Let's read our final few verses, as it is a powerful statement for us all. Mark 8, verse 34 says, "And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul?'" We all know this passage, right? Take up the cross. If you want to follow Jesus, you must deny yourself and take up the cross. This is actually the first mention of the cross in Mark. We know this cross as the first century instrument of torture that was perfected by the Romans. And we know that there is one with Jesus' name on it at the end of our study. However, take up your cross does not mean that everyone is headed for the cross, or somehow we need to torture ourselves daily. Remember, this passage follows Peter's attempts to handle the situation in his own way. Jesus then turns to the rest of the people standing here and says, if you want to follow me, then you must give up your own ways. That is what this means. It may lead to martyrdom, and it does for many standing in this moment here with Peter. But what it means is that we must leave our ways and follow his ways. Jesus has brought us to a new life, and we are following him. This means denying what you want and losing the life that you want for the sake of Christ. This is your cross, and it is what every one of us committed to when we walked that aisle, when we hit our knees, when we took our God-given faith and made the decision to follow Jesus, when we acted on this faith in baptism. When we did these things, we said our life was no longer ours, but it belonged to Jesus. Peter was still holding on to his old life and his old ways. And Jesus said, no more. Why? The rest of the passage tells us. It says your life is at stake. It says your very soul is at stake. Claiming faith in one thing is one thing. Claiming faith is one thing. But then putting these words into action is another. Our actions reveal our faith and reveal if our life and our souls have been gained or lost. We get this concept of losing is actually gain. We get it. We've been through it. Maybe some of you have quit smoking. The quitting of the smoking was a gain in your life. Maybe some of you have quit the excessive drinking. The quitting of the drinking was a gain in your life. Think about some of those first relationships you had. Think about your first breakup. It probably seemed devastating. It seemed terrible to lose something so important to you. And then you found someone else. You maybe even got married, had children, had grandchildren, and the first loss no longer seems so devastating. This is what Jesus is talking about here. He says that life that you have and that you love so much, leaving it feels awful. It feels like your world is ending. It feels like nothing could ever be better than what you are leaving, but this is not the case. Leaving your own desires and your own life choices for the sake of the gospel means life everlasting. Means a joyous soul in heaven rather than a torturous soul in hell. You feel like you have too much to turn away from, but you gain so much, much more in the end. What do we need to turn from in our lives? What is it in your life that keeps you from Jesus? Chasing money at the cost of your Christian values may gain you things, but it may lose you Jesus. Hopping from one relationship to the next to satisfy your needs may fulfill your desires in the moment, but it will not lead to ultimate joy or fulfillment in heaven. Maybe in our current pandemic, it is worry that has distracted you and has claimed all of your attention. Whatever it is, we must not lose our focus.
Amen.
Turn to Jesus. Turn to your church. Turn to this book. Turn away from the evil and wicked desires of this world and come to your Savior. Now let me be clear. There is nothing in this world that can take your faith in Jesus and your salvation found in Him away from you. Nothing has that power. Praise God for this, because if we could lose it, we would lose it. Your salvation is yours forever. However, there are many things in this world that we can turn to instead of God that reveals whether or not we are truly His. Whether salvation was ever ours. Whether our words expressed were just empty words. Examine your life and the desires that drive your life, and then deny yourself and follow Jesus. Look at our last verse, verse 38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. It says when Christ returns and calls his people to himself, he will be ashamed of those who were ashamed of him. That does not make us feel all warm and fuzzy, does it? Good. Use the uncomfortableness that this creates in your heart to flush out the things in your life that would bring this shame. Is he at the center of your life? Can others see the gospel coming from you? Do not let the world around you overshadow the spirit inside of you or your faith. Today we were shown in our text that we are just like our hero here, Peter. We love Jesus just like him, and we would do anything for Jesus just like him. And just like him, we often get in our own way. Jesus says to us that our own ways do not lead to the things of God. We must drop these ways and turn to Jesus. If you have something pulling you away from the Son of God that you claim to follow, then you are probably thinking about this thing in your life right now. Now is your chance to turn from it, to be done with it. Jesus came and lived a life that we could not live and paid the price that we could not pay for our sins. Belief in this man, this Christ, this Son of God means you acknowledge your faults and sins were paid for on the cross, and the Spirit of God inside of you is leading you to a better way. If you need this change in your life, you can pray for this change today. If you're a follower but have realized that you are no longer denying your own desires and have fallen away from seeking the things of God, you can recommit yourself to Jesus today. Whatever is on your heart, bring it before our Father in heaven this morning as we sing. Have we denied ourselves and do we follow Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time we have together this morning. We thank you for your holy word. Father, we just pray now that you let these words sit upon us. Let us dive into your scripture and actually feel it changing us. And let us apply these changes to our world around us, Father. We know that you've called us to yourself. And we know it's to glorify you and your kingdom. And we know it is to spread your holy word, your good news, your gospel message. Help us leave this place, drawn away from our fears and anxieties and worries of this world, and drawn into your presence.